Let's pray for James as he shares from God's word. Lord, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, guide unto our path. So light our way, Lord, this very evening. Lord, that we'll hear your word. Lord, that you anoint what James brings and just give us hearts ready to respond and to live out what your word says, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be here and to start our new series in the evenings. Power walking, how we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, how we engage and discuss and receive and release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be that kind of topic that sometimes we think is a way out there somewhere, and we think actually it's, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure what that's about. I'm not sure, are those for me? Does this relate to me? Is this about me? Are these something that I should have? Is this something that other people should receive? Are these something I get whenever I become a Christian? Are these things that come later? What's it all about? And sometimes there's so much kind of confusion or mixed messages around the gifts of the Holy Spirit that actually sometimes we kind of just set them to the side a wee bit and kind of get on with life. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not something to be afraid of. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not something that we should kind of hold at arm's length. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the things that we should embrace. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the things that we should, as the scriptures tell us, eagerly desire them. That they're something that we should be craving for. And that within us as a Christian, it's something actually that it should be a part of our everyday thoughts. It shouldn't be set to the side and kind of only come out every so often if we read a passage about it or we hear a sermon about it. But it should be a part of our DNA. In fact, as a believer, it's not what defines you because it's Jesus Christ who defines you. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit show that he is alive and well and that he's willing and ready to be active in his world. There you are. That's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about gifts, right? So who would like a gift tonight? Okay. These are all a bit slow. Okay. There you are. There you are. No. I just thought I would give away a couple of gifts. So whenever we're talking about these gifts of the Holy Spirit, all right, we talk about them and we explore them and we pull out the passage of Scripture that actually talk about them. And so this sermon series won't go necessarily through the list and say each week we're going to take a particular gift of the Holy Spirit, like tongues this week and healing the next week and all of that. It's kind of the all-encompassing where each of those individual gifts will be spoken about each week and brought in each week. But this is about understanding what the gifts of the Spirit are. The gifts of the Spirit are given by God. Okay, so we can't actually say that we're going to receive a particular gift. Okay, they are given by God. That's not some theory that I came up with. It's in the scriptures, right? So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning at verse 1. If you have a Bible with you, I'd love you to turn with me to that. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. We can't decide that we want this particular gift and that's the one that I'm going to have and the one that I'm going to use. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts to us as he desires. So they're given by God. In this series, we're going to look at a number of things, right? So we're going to look at how the gifts in much more detail are for today. We believe as a church here in Willowfield that the balance between the Word of God, which is active and sharper than a double-edged sword and has power to penetrate deep down into the marrow, has life-giving words within it, has things to speak into us as individuals and to us as a society, as a culture. We also believe that we hear from God, that we receive from God through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we want a balance between the Word and the Spirit. And so whilst the gifts are given by God, we'll also see that they are for today, that the gifts are not something that has been resigned to the history books or to the annuals, but we believe that the gifts are active and alive for today, that as a church, as a body of believers, not just here, but worldwide, we should be using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, often it can be controversial, some of them. But does God really heal today? What does that look like? Tongues? No. And sometimes we get wrapped up in the controversies and in the yeas and nays, and we miss the overall, not the overall, I was going to say the overall theme, but that's not what I'm trying to say. We miss the overall picture that actually the gifts are there to bring life. The gifts are there to edify and to glorify. The gifts are given so that we might build each other up. That we might edify each other as a body of believers, that we might grow together, that we might draw alongside each other, that we might help each other and assist each other, and that we might show and share the love of Christ to the world around us. But their purpose is to glorify God. It's not to make me look good. It's not to make Bill look good or to make anybody else who might use the gift good. They're to glorify God. The gifts as we use them are to be pointers to him and not to ourselves. And so whenever we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, actually we point away from ourselves towards him so we would lead fruitful lives, lives that bear fruit, lives that actually have a lasting legacy beyond this temporal life, right into the depths of eternity. So that as we sang in our first song, that dry bones would arise. That image of the prophet Ezekiel, whenever he saw the valley of dry bones lying before him and the Lord saying, actually, in there, whenever I breathe life into that place, it's an army. It's not just dry bones, it's an army. As the church of Christ become a place of dry bones because we're not willing to receive the breath of God through the gifts of his Spirit. Because ultimately, the gifts are given so that his kingdom will be built up. Gifts are given so that his kingdom would be built up. What did you do with those gifts? Go away. Are you not giving it back? What did you do with yours? Just set them to the side. Right, you didn't open them. You wanted to open the gift, but they didn't allow you. Never happened in my house. Females in my house just do whatever they want. Where am I going with this? God gives his gifts as he wills. The problem is, we've never opened them. You're having a clue what's in those. You don't know whether they're good or bad or indifferent. But the one thing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is this. They'll never be bad. They'll always be good because he's a good father. And the only way you find out what's in that gift, Angela, is if you actually do open it. Goodness sake. Do you know, right? Thins. The brand new milk chocolate digestive biscuits. That's the nicest biscuit in the whole wide world, by the way. McFiddy's chocolate digestive, but they're the thins. I'm supposed to be on a diet. So I bought a packet of thins because I thought that was better for me than the thick ones. And the wife told me, it's just better not eating any of them. So there we are. See what I mean? God gives us the gifts, but unless you actually unwrap them, you don't know what he's given you. You don't know the beauty of the gift that he has given you. Now, I have a nearly 9-year-old and nearly 5-year-old. That's very important whenever they're that age, apparently. Okay? You can't say they're 4 and 8 anymore. But if you give a gift to my girls, I guarantee you they would not have the same self-control and self-restraint as them two ladies. They would be ripped open, searching inside to see what was in the gift. And then after they'd seen what was in it, it would be out of the box, would come whatever it is, and then it would probably be set aside and they'd play with the box for a wee while rather than actually playing with the toy that's inside it. But they wouldn't hold back. They'd rip it open and they'd be in there to see what it was they'd been given. I had the opposite experience with an elderly relative of mine recently who I visited and who I brought a gift for. And whenever I gave the gift to this person, they went, oh, right, and set it to the side. I didn't open it. Now, I don't know about you, whenever you buy somebody a gift and you kind of go to the trouble of picking it and getting it and then wrapping it and all that sort of stuff, there's a moment where you want to see what their facial expression will be whenever they open it. To see what it's going to be like, see what the reaction's going to be. Do you know, I didn't have any of that because this person didn't open it. And I did all my visit and all that sort of stuff and left, and they still hadn't opened it. I don't even know if they've opened it to this day. I honestly don't know. How does God feel, I wonder, whenever he gives his gifts as he wills to us, but we don't open them and use them? How does a good, good father feel whenever he gives gifts to his children, we don't use them? See, whenever the Spirit takes over, we live a different way. Whenever the Spirit takes over, we live a different way. That's a strange wee phrase, maybe, when the Spirit takes over. But James, surely we get the Spirit whenever we first come to faith. True, 100%. If we give our lives to Christ, the Spirit comes to live within us. We are a new creation, that tells us in the Scriptures. But there's also a point sometimes, actually, where we almost set the Spirit to the side and we don't hand everything over to him. We don't allow him to take over every aspect of our lives, because if we did, we would live differently. Listen to the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Paul says here that whenever you didn't have the Spirit living in you, you went the wrong way. It didn't matter how you actually got led in that way. It didn't matter how you got there. You were in the wrong place. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit, because whenever the Spirit gets us, whenever he takes over us, we live in a different way. We declare that Jesus is Lord and that our focus is different. We open our lives to him. Maybe we just haven't given him all of it and we're holding back those little bits because we want to keep control. See, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We read some of that list earlier. Here we read it again in verse 4. Now there were varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord, and varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Take note of that. There are different gifts. There are different varieties of service and varieties of activities, but it's the same Lord. yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He is the one who gives it to us. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's what I said earlier, that the gifts of the Spirit are given to us that we might edify and build each other up. That's how the body of Christ works. It's how it should work. That we use what God has given us to build other people up, not to tear them down. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. There's a plethora. Big word. There's a plethora. Good follow me the word. There's a plethora of stuff. Right? It's a whole variety of stuff. It's a whole variety of what God wants to do amongst us. That God wants to enable and empower us to get on with and to do. Verse 11, and these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's not ours to decide. I'd say it's a pretty good job it's not. Because there might be a few wee fights about who should get what gift. And what gift's better than the other. And what gift's more important than another gift. And therefore I should have a better place than them because they've only got such and such. And actually I want that and I should have that because actually, you know, we can see how it would go. See, whenever we think that we know what is best, and what we want, in terms of spiritual gifts, whenever we think we know what's best and what it is that we want, that's almost like saying, you've got it wrong, God. You didn't give me the right gift. I should have had X, Y, or Z. And sometimes we rely on our natural ability far too much. Now, God has given us natural abilities. Of course he has. He's created us. He's made us in his image. He's created us to do good works that would bring glory to him. Of course he has given us natural abilities. But we can't rest into those and not seek the supernatural. We can't rest into those and not seek the Holy Spirit in our lives. If I'm missing something in here, and somewhere in these pages it tells us that we can simply rest in our natural ability and not seek the Holy Spirit. I don't see that in the pages of the Scriptures. What I hear from God's Word is that he wants to empower us by the part of the Godhead that has come to live within us. That he wants to give us, a bit like what it says, that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. It says in Romans 11 that his gifts and his calling are irrevocable. That God gives them to us. And whenever God places a calling on our lives, it's not taken away. That calling remains. That's why we can declare these gifts, I believe, are for today. That they haven't ceased. That God continues to give his good gifts to those who follow him. God continues to give his good gifts to the church, his body, his hands, his feet, his eyes, and his ears, and his mouthpiece here on this earth. But here's a key element in this. Don't go looking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you've never received Jesus. That's a bit harsh, James. It's what it says here. It says in the Scriptures that whenever we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit comes to live within us. That's the Spirit who gives, as we heard, by his will. Therefore, We need to receive Christ in order for the Spirit to live within us, for the Spirit to give us the gifts. But sometimes we're on a journey towards faith, we're on a journey towards God, we're on a journey, and we try to take a couple of steps far too far. We almost try to take a leap or a jump past what we need to do first, and we miss out the initial step, and then it all goes a bit badly wrong, and we think, oh, well, that's not for me then. Gifts are for today. Because they bring him glory and they build up his church. And they all work together. In Ephesians chapter 4. It says that he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists, shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whenever he releases us into our gifting to do what he has called us to do, whenever we step into what he has purposed for us, destined for us, then we step into the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's good. That's like... That's why you can't just take a packet of milk chocolate digestive thins and not open them. Because actually... she unwrapped them, but she still hasn't opened them. Still hasn't tasted them. We need to step into the fullness of all that God has for us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you look, whenever you go home, if you read on in that chapter in verse Corinthians chapter 12, I encourage you to do that tonight. Go home and reread that first part of the chapter and then read on into it. And as Paul describes the gifts of the Spirit being given to edify and to build up and to glorify God, what is the rest of the chapter about? It's about the body of Christ. It's about can an eye really hear, or can a hand can't walk? But because actually, as a body of believers, we are his body. And so we need to exercise our different gifts in order for the body to function properly. Otherwise, we're walking around like a lame cripple. We're walking around like a blind man. We're walking around like a deaf person. We're not in the place that God wants us to be. And if you're not using your gift that God has given to you as a believer, then you're damaging the body of Christ. Because there's a bit missing. There's a bit not functioning, a bit not working. So we each need to step up and take on the responsibility and step into the fullness of what God has for us. So what needs to be done? Unwrap the gift. Open it up. Ask, and you will receive. It tells us in the scriptures as well to eagerly desire the greater gifts, that we're to chase after this. And this isn't to be kind of a fleeting thought once every so often. We're to chase after this. We're to eagerly desire it. This is to be a part of our DNA. This is to be a part of who we are. So if you're in Christ, if you're a believer, let's ask God to release in you the gift of his Spirit tonight. If you're not a believer, let's just ask God to transform your life and that you might receive Jesus Christ, that you might start the journey of the fullness of the measure that all that he has for you. So James is going to come back with the band, and we're going to begin to respond. Because actually, if we simply just leave it hanging, then what we're doing is leaving the gift unwrapped. If we don't seek that God would release the gifts in us, then we're just continuing to look at a present that is all wrapped up, and we have no idea what's inside. And who knows what he wants to give you tonight? Some are apostles, evangelists. Some are teachers. Some he gives the gift of healing. Some he gives the gift of administration, the gift of wisdom, of discernment. Others he gives the gift of tongues, of intercession, of faith. Who knows what it is that he wants to release in you tonight? You excited about that, yeah? No, but you see, do you know, because sometimes actually we become, in our culture of Northern Ireland, we can be exceptionally reserved about all of this. And actually sometimes I think God just is like, well, let's just go for it. Let's just see what he would do. That's not just to say let's throw caution to the wind. That's not to say let's have chaos in worship. That's to say actually let's respond in a way that would honor and glorify God, but that would seek that he would release the gifts of his spirit within us this evening. That he would change us and shape us, that he would show us something deep inside, that he would awaken the kingdom seed that is within us, and that we would understand who we are and what we're here for. Let's stand and worship.